and welcome to the Libby's Podcast, conversations with authors who've been shortlisted for the British Book Awards, lovingly known as the Nibbies. I'm your host and longtime Nibbies fan, Hannah McInnes. These awards celebrate books and everyone who makes them, honouring the entire creative, collaborative journey of a book, from the author's mind to the reader's hand. And that's what we're going to do on this podcast. Chat to some of today's best-loved authors about their books, their writing, what's gone on behind the scenes to get them to where they are, and those lovely moments when they and the books they've created have found their readers.
I'm Brianna Fitzsimons. I am a teacher, an anti-racism activist, and a DEI specialist, one of the authors of the Black and Irish book.
And I'm Leon Jupp. I'm the founder of the Black and Irish organization and the co-author of Black and Irish Legends, Trailblazers, and Everyday Heroes.
Well, it is wonderful to have you both with us. Thank you. So the title of the book, Black and Irish, Leon, tell us about that. That's the name of an organisation you started in 2020.
Sure. So I established the organisation in 2020 immediately after the death of George Floyd. We saw a movement kicking off around the world that was very focused on anti-Black racism and the Black experience, but it was very US-centric. It was focused on the US. So what I wanted to do was create dialogue in Ireland on the Black and mixed race experience here. So I had this idea. I went to two friends about starting Black and Irish. I didn't know necessarily what it would be. It started off as an Instagram account, and we started sharing the stories of Black and mixed race people. Very quickly, we gathered many stories from the community and a massive audience as well. So what that showed was there was a readiness for people to share their story, and there was a readiness for people to listen as well. So that's how the organization got started. We then evolved multiple times into an organization, into a podcast, and ultimately into a book, which I'm happy for us to talk about.
Well, brilliant. Let's talk about it. Brianna, tell us about the book then. It's a collection of people. Who and how did you choose who to include?
Yeah, so there's 25 stories, 25 main chapters. They're kind of mini biographies. And within each chapter actually is an insert. So there's actually more than 25 stories in the book. There's twice the amount, if not a little bit more even.
Yeah.
And what we tried to do was, when we were choosing who to include in the book, we tried to make sure that we were being as inclusive as we could, that we were choosing people who are doing different jobs and had different roles in all aspects of society. So we have teachers, we have politicians, we have a barber, we have musicians and actors and actresses and an Irish dancer. And, you know, just we tried to kind of cover as much as we possibly could of all the different kind of roles that people play in society, and really focus on all the amazing contributions of all of these people in their respective fields. So we really wanted to make sure that we were getting the full kind of, you know, picture as best we could of the Black and Irish community. Mm.
And of course, you're shortlisted for a Book of the Year Children's Nonfiction. Leon, would you say this is a book for children or also for adults and really for everyone?
Yeah, my immediate answer is that it's for everyone. I think anyone, you know, around the age of 12 and up can pick up this book and really enjoy it. And I've heard multiple feedback multiple pieces of feedback from teenagers who have read the book on their own, but also from parents as well who have read the book with their kids, and you know, they all talk about how accessible it is, that it's easy to pick up and put down as well. You know, you're able to leave it down at certain chapters and then pick it up from a fresh perspective. So yeah, I think the book is for everyone. It's primarily targeted for, you know, that kind of teen to young adult audience, but everyone seems to be picking it up and enjoying it.
Mm. I mean, Brianna, everyone in terms of young and old, but also you say in the introduction, we hope these stories will inspire and encourage young Black Irish people, mm-hmm. but also inspire and encourage and educate a far wider audience as well.
Yeah. We really, like, yes, we had young Black Irish people in mind as the target audience for the book, but we know that this book needs to be read by everybody. These stories need to be told and heard and understood in order to build empathy in our society and understanding. And so that's why we hope that every young person gets to read the book. And we know that it's already being used in Irish schools. Teachers are using it, adapting it. They're not just using it in Black History Month. They're using it to teach like biography writing and all this other great stuff. So it's being utilized in lots of different ways. And it's something that every kid can see a piece of themselves reflected in it somewhere because of all the different things that the different people do, not just in terms of race and ethnicity, but in you know, just people's journeys, people's lives, the challenges that we all face, and all that really common universal stuff. And so that's why we think that it's really, as Leon said, it's for everyone, and not just age-wise, but also, you know, across race and ethnicity as well.
Leon, you were nodding there. Did you want to add?
No, just we recognize when we were writing the introduction that many different people from different walks of life are going to pick up this book. So we wanted this book to meet them where they are at. And I think I do think we got the balance right in that. I think you know anyone can pick up the book, and from their perspective in life, they can gain from it, whether they are that 12-year-old young Black person growing up in Tipperary who hasn't seen a lot of people around them doing different stuff, can see themselves reflected in the book, or can see their path through life, or a kind of white Irish mother picking it up and being able to read it to their kids and find this stuff for herself, but also being able to teach their kids or a young white kid as well, being able to pick up the book and empathize and understand the experiences of Black and mixed race people in Ireland. So yeah, there was different bases that people were at, and we wanted to make sure that that book arrived at that base as well.
Yeah, really interesting. And Brianna, you were saying it's being used in schools, which is wonderful. Is that filling a gap that otherwise wasn't there in the curriculum?
Yes, yes, it was something like every October, every Black History Month, we would get messages like Black and Irish would get tons of messages into the Instagram or to the email saying, do you have any recommendations? Do you have any resources? Do you have anything for this? And so, and there hasn't been anything to date. So especially
why?
Young people.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's actually been quite the opposite, really. Like, it's been a lot of the material that's been in schools has been, in my opinion, having a detrimental or a negative effect. Yeah. When I was going through school, there was the troker box at the top of the classroom where we needed to put, 5 cents or 20 cents in for the Black babies. We had, we read To Kill a Mockingbird in English, and we learned about the Atlantic slave trade for about a week in history. So, for me and my age group, people were getting a very negative and very skewed perception of Black people. And that led to obviously a lot of hassle. I think a lot of people learned the N-word in my English class, and that was then weaponized against me after that, So we want to give another side of the story. We want to change the narrative. We want to show that there's many positives out there within the Black and Irish community, and we're showing that. I think we're changing the narrative, but we're also changing the kind of system that's been there for the last while.
Yeah. The power of stories. And you say in the introduction that Black Irish identity is still being formed and moulded. And if you don't write your own story, someone else will write it for you. And that is what this is about, Brianna.
Yeah, definitely. That's been, I think Leon and I share that in our kind of mixed raceness, I suppose. Just this idea of kind of being caught between two worlds and not knowing where you stand and where you sit, and having people judge you based on how you look, even though you know there's so much more to you and all that kind of stuff. And so I think we both really knew how important it was to make sure that we were doing justice for the people of the stories that we were telling, that we were telling them in the way that, spoke most to them and who they are and everything about them. And because we also wanted to make sure that we weren't telling, we weren't like doing anything bad by telling their story either, right? We were telling them in the best possible way and honoring them in that, because we know how important it is to own our own stories 100%. Like that's I think the main mission of Black and Irish as well. It's to own our stories and tell people exactly who we are, what we've dealt with, what we've come up against, but how amazing we can be, especially when we all work together.
Leon, it's impossible to pick favourites, I'm sure, but just tell us some examples of the people in the book.
Yeah, so my go-to favourites generally would be Jude Hughes and Dr. Phil Mullen. So Jude Hughes is an 82-year-old man, grew up in an industrial school system, which you'll learn about in the book. Not a very unpleasant system to grow up in Ireland. And, you know, he grew up as an activist, as someone who always stood up for the underdog, campaigned during the civil rights movement, campaigned against apartheid South Africa, and is a tailor and runs his own kind of tailoring shop. He's actually making the suit for my wedding next year. So he's a wonderful, wonderful man. And his story is one of resilience, of constantly, you know, seeing the best in people and wanting to fight for that. I call him my granddad as well. He is like a granddad to me. And then Dr. Phil Mullen, who's my auntie now, is someone who also grew up in a similar type of system, in the industrial schools. Left school early, worked a number of kind of menial jobs in her life, decided that there was more for her out there. So she went back and re-educate herself. She went back and did a master's, and then ultimately went on to do a PhD. And she's now the head of Black Studies in Trinity College Dublin, which is one of the most prominent prominent university in Ireland, for its kind of history and stuff like that. Now, I didn't go to Trinity, so it's very difficult for me to say that. But, you know, those would be two of the stories that would really resonate with me. Of course, there's many stories like Rashida Adeleke, who's, you know, Ireland's fastest woman. She's based in Texas at the minute. She's set like 50 Irish records at the moment. So just incredible people in the book. But some of the people that I can kind of relate to the most would be the ones I mentioned earlier.
I want to ask you about them all, but we don't have time. And also, of course, those who haven't can read about them at length in the pages of the book. Brianna, tell me about the publishing journey of the book, because that's what we're really interested in as well. I'd love to know whether there were any particular moments of that you look back at with fondness.
So our publisher, Little Island Books, actually reached out to the Black and Irish team and said that there was a book in what we were doing, that there was something more to be done. You know, we could take, you know, a leaf out of the Instagram page and the storytelling kind of process that was going on there and turn it into a book and specifically aim it towards young people, which, you know, Leon brought it to the team and we were like, yeah, okay, let's do it. This is a great idea. And so it kind of, it fell to Leon and I to craft those stories and do those interviews. We had some teammates that helped us with all the interviews, which was really awesome. And it is really cool. Actually, we looked at the chapters, right, Leon? And I think pretty much everyone that we were able to interview, you know, because they're alive and other things, we interviewed, I think, 95% of them. So that was pretty cool that we were able to do that. And that process was probably the most enjoyable for me, because I got to have conversations with people who I didn't know, but I knew of them, and I got to hear their personal stories, and they got to trust me with their stories, you know. And just having you schedule like a 45-minute Zoom with someone, and then you're on the Zoom for like 2 hours because you're getting all their story, and then you have the daunting task of writing it in like 1500 words. So you're like, okay, sure, I can do that. But yeah, that was
hard. That is really tough. What about working with your brilliant illustrator, bringing these people to life, Jessica? Tell us about that, Leon.
Yeah, so Jessica was someone that has really enhanced this book by being part of it. So we wanted an illustrator that reflected the community. We thought it would be really authentic for a Black person to be involved in illustrating the book. So we reached out to a couple of people based in Ireland who, unfortunately, but also fortunately, were preoccupied with other projects. But Jessica was recommended to us. So we reached out to her and just said, hey, like, look, we're working on this project. She's based in Nigeria. And she was like, yeah, I'll put you in touch with our agent. Her agent at Itunji was then the person mainly that we liaised with. But we were on a number of meetings with Jessica. And Jessica's process was incredible because she wanted to see the stories behind the people first before. Because obviously, you know, we could have just given her a picture and, you know, she could draw it. But she wanted to know their background as well and their story, which at the time was kind of like, well, you know, we just want you to draw it. Like, we don't have the stories written just yet. So, you know, please just draw the picture. But no, she was like, look, I think it will really help my process. And it really did, because the iconography that she was able to use, how she was able to get, like, every illustration jumps out at you. And you can tell who the person is just by looking. Even if you don't read the chapter, you can tell what kind of person they are. You know, you can see their emotion. You can see their life, like, crafted into the illustration. So that, for me, it was a kind of right place, right time to work with Jessica. I can't think of, you know, anyone that could have done it better, the way, like, that she I think she just got it perfectly, you know. And I think a lot of this book has kind of fallen into place, but it's fallen into the right place. Just touching back on the journey, you know, Little Island reaching out to, I think Little Island were the perfect partners. I'm like, because we needed to take a real kind of collegial partnership to this. And there's been times where we've worked with people and it's either them being very hands off or too hands on. Little Island, I think, got it perfectly. They were patient with us. It's our first book. So, you know, they took an approach to this which recognized that. We had many a phone call, many a funny meeting. Matthew, who's the chief executive of Little Island, probably want me sharing the story. But in one of our first meetings, he walked in and the chairs in the room were very funny. He had to pull down the chair to sit into it. And he forgot to pull it out and just went, like, straight through the chair on the floor. And, you know, from the offset, we were just all laughing together and having a bit of crack, you know. So that was that was really positive. And then, you know, how some of the interviews went, I know Brianna kind of touched on this, but the interviews as well, like, we sat down with a plan of, these are the four questions that we want to ask, and it's going to take us 30 minutes and la 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 la. And then me and Brianna would be on calls being like, you know, Brianna saying, oh, that took me 2 hours, because we just got into a conversation with them. It wasn't even an interview anymore. It was just us sharing our experiences and stuff like that. And the same happened to me, you know. I sat down with Connor Buckley after watching Christian Buckley's story. And it was supposed to be 15 minutes and it was like an hour. And we were like, okay, well, I actually do need to wrap this up. But, like, that's how we were able to get some of the nuance into the stories that we probably wouldn't have gotten if we just did a straightforward kind of one-to-one interview. Yeah, I think everyone that we worked with, I think everyone that's worked on this book was the right person to work on the book. And that's why it's, I think, when I first sat down to write this, I said to Matthew, I don't want this to just be a book. I want it to be a cultural moment where we're able to look back on and say, okay, well, that was actually a significant piece in Irish literature. And it seems to be doing that, you know. It's published today in North America. So it's getting around the world now, you know, as well as in Ireland. So yeah, it's been a journey, you know, and I think Brianna will agree with that. It's been a journey, but it's been a really eye opening journey for me.
It's really interesting to hear you say that. I think a lot of authors will relate to the importance of getting that balance right between hands on and hands off, letting you get on with certain bits and helping with others, I'm sure. And also, I totally relate to the whole idea of, I've got my questions, it's meant to be 20, 25 minutes, and actually I would like it to be a two-hour conversation. It's quite how I feel at this moment. But unfortunately, I can't do that. But tell me, the journey completion, I suppose. You've talked about it going out into schools and the importance of that and what that means for you and for the book. But what about, I know you did a lot of events and met your readers. What was that like, meeting readers of the book, hearing their reactions?
Yeah, we have a program here in Ireland called the Yellow Flag Program. And it's an anti-racism, anti-discrimination program that schools can join into. And they basically commit to doing anti-racist practice and becoming a yellow flag school. And it's actually run through an organization that's a traveler organization here. So our book was bought by the Yellow Flag program coordinators and was sent to all of their schools who have committed to it. And that was an amazing thing straight off the bat, because I knew that it was for sure going into schools, which is really cool. And then they had their annual kind of ceremony just a few weeks ago, and they asked me to attend. And so I actually got to meet some of the young people who have not only read the book, but actually done this program and everything like that. And so it was really cool. It was really exciting. And just lovely to chat with teenagers who read the book, understood it, really appreciated the work that Leon and I have done, and knew that like it was for them. And to me, that was like, that's it. Like, that's all. Like, the awards are lovely and stuff like that, and doing all these kinds of conversations about it all is great. But to me, that's the stuff. Like, that's the big win there, is that kids are reading it and enjoying it and seeing the value in it. So yeah, that's one thing that's worked for me anyway.
And Leon, what about you? After all that work, all the ideas and passion that clearly went into it,
yeah,
and into the organization, what was it like, and what is it like meeting readers?
Yeah, so I've met many readers from all different kind of walks of life, you know, and similar to Brianna, you know, I feel like I get a trophy every time I talk to someone that's read the book. You know, they're just so happy to have had the opportunity to read it. I've done talks in schools. I even went out to a primary school recently that had a number of copies of the book, and they were speaking to their students about it, and some students had read it and stuff like that, and they did a Q&A with me, and they were able to ask me questions on the book. And now they're also able to ask me questions on Fortnite, you know, and a multitude of other and my football team that I support. But you know, just seeing them and their eyes light up when they're talking about it is incredible. I've spoken to a number of kind of older people in the community who would have very different experiences to the Ireland that I grew up in. They would have grown up in the kind of 60s, 70s, 80s Ireland that wasn't as diverse and wasn't as inclusive, you know, and they faced a lot of hassle and grew up in either mother and baby homes or in industrial schools, and they talk about it. And Dr. Phil Mullen mentioned to me recently that she thinks it's one of the best things to happen for the Black community in Ireland in a while. So that for me, I wanted it to have a big impact. I didn't think it would have that big of an impact on some people, but it has, you know. And even then, to mothers and fathers of children who are reading it to their kids, they're coming up and saying to me that they're learning so much, and that you can see that their kids are really loving it as well. That for me, like, as I say, every time it's just a complete, it takes me back off. I often had to, you know, I'm a big softie at heart, you know, I have to go somewhere and kind of wipe away the tears and stuff like that of joy and, you know, stuff like that, you know, because I'm a big baby at heart. But yeah, it's been incredible getting the feedback that we've gotten.
To be fair, it is a very emotional sounding thing, you know, getting that feedback. So there's no big baby about it. But also, when I hear you both talk, it sounds like, without doubt, those are the moments you feel like, as you said, it's a trophy every time. Mm. So nothing really beats that. But tell me what it means to you to be shortlisted for a NIBBY. Brianna.
It's really exciting. I just, like, when we set out to write this book, I didn't think about awards. I don't know if Leon did, but I didn't. I didn't even think about like the possibility. I was just literally thinking about kids reading the book in hand. Like, that's all I could think about.
Yeah.
So this is lovely. Like, this is, it's quite an honor. It's incredible experience, and I'm really glad that this is helping, you know, like, the award is lovely, but it's also just kind of the acknowledgement of all the hard work and everything that as Leon said, like, the impact that it's having on the community. That's, I think, the recognition sits there, and also recognition for all the people in the book. You know, there's 25 plus people in the book who have done amazing things. So I think it's also a bit of recognition for them and all of their amazing work as well and their contributions. So it's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for me as well, it's just a complete honor and privilege. And to complement what Brianna has said. When we win awards or when we're recognized for the book, it's not just recognition for the two of us. It's recognition, obviously, for everyone that worked on the book, but also for everyone that contributed their story. And it's a testament to the power of the Black and Irish story and how that has a massive impact on people. So, yeah, getting recognized in that sense, it just adds another kind of layer to it that gives you that real feel good factor. So yeah, it's an honor, and I'm thrilled to be, that we're nominated for a Nibby.
Thrilled that you've been shortlisted as well, and really well done with the book. As you say, you wanted it to be so much more than a book, and it's clear that it has been. Not job done in terms of how much there more education and learning there is to go, without doubt. But you've played a very significant part. So thank you both very much.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure to subscribe to the series to hear more conversations with Nibby's authors. And we'd love it if you'd rate it and leave us a review. Do visit thebookseller.com/British-book-awards to find out more about the industry's biggest celebration of books and all who make them. This podcast was produced by Heavy Entertainment.